my way to talk to strangers.
Begging for some dick. Begging, begging for some dick. Begging, begging for some dick. Begging for some dick. Begging for some dick. Begging for some nuts.
I can tell.
Begging for the man, hey.
In your past.
Begging for the man, hey.
Cause I'm what you've been
begging for the man, hey.
Yo,
we can talk.
What's up, everybody? What's up, everybody? What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Mac Lessons Radio Show. I'm your host, Mr. Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning back into the show. It is January 1st, 2008. New year, new Mackin', new game, new upgrades, new everything. New Mac resolutions, everything. Glad to have everybody tuning into the show. Today's show is brought to you by MacLessons.com. That's where you can get all your Macing products and Macing needs, like the Mac Lessons DVD. And it's brought to you by MacLessonsRadio.com. That's where you can check out all the old Mac Lessons radio shows. And also, don't forget to check out UnitedPlayersOfAmerica.com, where players such as yourself can chop it up with other players all around the world. And today's show is going to be a good show today. Had to play that B2K. Had to play the new BTK because last week it was all over the media, the story that I'm pretty sure you heard about. One of the members of the group, B2K, made allegations that Chris Stokes, the producer of B2K and the owner of the label that B2K was on, Raz B, the guy in B2K, alleged that Chris Stokes fondled his little butt cheeks at one point. Now, the story got real interesting because the guy came out, Raz B and his brother. He had another brother who was a rapper or something. I think his name was, what was his name? Romeo Romantic, some Ricky Romance, some shit like that. And they came out on YouTube saying that Chris Stokes was moist. He would fondle him and fuck with him and molest him as kids. And I'm not trying to make a joke of anybody being molested. But Chris Stokes has always been suspected of being kind of moist in the industry. And even the whole B2K and that whole clique, there's been some moist allegations with those guys for a long time. So for him to come out and say that, you know, it shocked people, but it didn't shock people. But then a few days later, he came out with another video on YouTube saying that the allegations were not true. And it seems kind of confusing, but this is what the deal is for my assumption. This is what I think is the deal. In Hollywood, there's like an underground subculture of moist niggas who almost blackmail people to keep their moisture under wraps. There's like a whole gay bisexual subculture here in Los Angeles, especially. You have a lot of entertainers and producers and executives that have paid boy toys on the side. That's real big here in Los Angeles. A lot of cases of that. Let me put on some more music. Today is going to be an 80s show. I'm in an 80s mood. It's a new year, but I have an 80s vibe today. I'm playing all the 80s music. But anyway, back to the story. In L.A., man, there's a subculture of guys out here who sleep with executives and male producers and very influential men in Hollywood. And they kind of embezzle them for money. There's a lot of cats like that. In L.A., man, you'll see a gay dude who's like rolling in dough. And you look at him like, where the fuck did he get all that money from? If that's where they get that money from. They're like boy toys. So I think that was kind of the case in the Raz B situation. I think that he may have been fondled. His little butt cheeks might have been compromised when he was a kid. And I think that Chris Stokes was getting a little stingy with the money. And Raz B started threatening him threatening him, like, look, man, if you don't give me such and such amount or give me or keep giving me money, I'm going to go public and say, you know, what's up? And I think that Chris Stokes didn't think that Razzby would call his bluff, and I think it happened. I think Razzby wanted to show that he wasn't bluffing, so he got on YouTube and started spilling the beans a little bit. And then Chris Stokes came back and gave him the right amount of money that he wanted. That's what the situation looked like. Now, I could be wrong, but that's what the situation looked like. It looked like it was a financial ploy. It looked like a blackmail embezzlement thing. Let's see who's on the phone. Hotline, who's on the phone?
Puerto Rico right now, just chilling out here for New Year.
Oh, well, man, what's popping in Puerto Rico right now? How's it looking?
Man, it's cracking, man. You know, me and my brother out here, we're about to go to this off-island Culebra and, you know, just parlay. We was in Old San Juan last night, kicked it, man. It was lovely, you know?
What's the women looking like right now?
Oh, man, you know it. I mean, the senoritas are fly out here, man, you know? You know, it's cool, you know, most definitely. They're definitely doing their thing. But, you know, we brought our pieces out here, you know?
Oh, so, nigga. You know, brought sand to the beach on that one. You brought sand to the beach. take some pictures, man. Take some pictures.
I'm going to take some pictures and send them to you and everything, man.
For sure.
You'll be talking on what's going on internationally out here. You feel me?
Absolutely. For sure. So take pictures holler back at me when you get back in the States.
All right, most definitely, Tariq.
All right, man. Peace. Brothers doing some Puerto Rican hustling and macking. They took it to the beach, though. But like I said about the Chris Stokes Razzby situation, I think that Razzby was kind of embezzling the guy for money. Razzby called his bluff and went public with some of the allegations. And then Chris Stokes coughed up the money to make him change his story. I think that's what happened. And a lot of that shit goes on in Hollywood. A lot of that shit goes on. And I know, not from no heard from the grapevine shit, I know motherfuckers in situations like that. There's a lot of people who are real moist, man, and it kind of breaks your heart. It kind of breaks your heart a little bit, but hey, it is what it is. What else is going on in the news? Other stuff going on in the news and the media. And everybody call into the show. We're going to take calls later on in the show. 818-574-8381. But right now, I just want to flow from the survival scrolls a little bit. Chop up game with you players a little bit before the phone lines start really blowing up, because people start calling and I get off my vibe. So from now on a lot of shows, I'm going to flow a little bit, then take calls so I can just get a vibe going, because I don't want to be interrupted, because these phone lines be lighting the fuck up. Anyway, there's something else that was on in the media a few days ago. They were talking about Judge Judy being racist. That was a big story in the news. And when you look deeper into the story, it's not Judge Judy being racist. What they're trying to allege is that the producers of the Judge Judy show were being racist, saying that they don't want, like, ghetto-ass black people on Judge Judy, blah, blah, blah. A former employee said this. A guy who got fired, he alleged that the executive producer of the Judge Judy show, Randy Duffit, didn't want black people on the Judge Judy show. He said that the producer wanted white litigants and they wanted to send all the black ones down to Judge Joe Brown. Now, I don't believe this story. Number one, I know the guy. I know that guy, Randy Duthit. I know the executive producer of the Judge Judy show. As a matter of fact, he was going to executive produce a daytime talk show for me. I know this guy isn't racist. I know this guy. And he's like an old school producer in Hollywood. He's been in Hollywood forever. He like started the Larry King show. This guy's been in the game for a minute. And I know the guy. I've been to the guy's house. The whole nine yards, and it was really, really, really true. We almost had a show on CBS. He took me down to CBS, and we put together a daytime talk show. It was me, Liz Hernandez, this fine-ass Mexican girl who's on Power 106. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful girl. she was going to be my co-host, and they had this one white lady who was going to be like the clinical psychologist for the show. And we went down to CBS. CBS loved me. They were ready to roll, but they didn't like the psychologist chick. They wanted to change and get somebody else. And it was taking a lot of time for them to find somebody else. And I ended up getting a development deal with another network. But Randy is cool. I've been to the guy's house. And as a matter of fact, I think the guy's wife is black. She's something. She's some fine, exotic looking ass woman. So that dude isn't racist. I think it's a bullshit story. Just wanted to put my two cents in with that. Now, I have another special show coming up, fellas. Ladies and fellas, I have another special show coming up. One of the pay-per-view shows on January 7th. Because I haven't done a pay-per-view special in a minute. I have one coming up next week, January 7th. And this one is going to be about religion. Since I've been doing the show, people have been wanting me to do a show about religion. They've been wanting me to talk about religion and spit game about religion. Because that's the ultimate Mac and game right there. Religion is the ultimate Mac game. And I'm finally going to do a show about that. What really made me want to do it, because I've been wanting to do it for the last month. I've been saying that I'm going to do it and I'm going to make a special out of it because the game is going to be really that deep. But what really made me decide on a date today, I was looking at a show on the A&E network. And A&E, they're coming out with some good shows too. I'm going to get on that in a minute. But the A&E network, they had a show that came on the other night called Jesus Camp. And you guys have to see this. It's about this camp with these little kids, and they bring these kids in and really brainwash them. They brainwash these kids, and it's some really crazy, disturbing shit. Hotline, who's calling?
Hey, what's up, man? This is Garen, man. Garen Films.
Hey, what's up, Garen? Where you calling from, bro?
Kansas City, Missouri.
That's what's up. What's on your mind, man?
Just want to say happy New Year to you, man, and just hope to hear from you more often.
Absolutely. Now, Kansas City, Missouri, man, I see them in Kansas City, Missouri on that show, The First 48, the cop show. Is it that much crime going on in Kansas City, Missouri?
Man, it's a lot of crime, man. It's a lot of stupid niggas around here, for real.
Well, it's like, is there a big drug problem out there? What's the deal out there?
Just a lot of stupid niggas, pretty much.
it's that simple. Don't try to get scientific. Just stupid niggas, yeah?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's like you can't even go out anymore. It's like fights everywhere, so.
Damn. I hate to hear that, man. But anyway, thanks for the call, Garen.
No problem, man.
Word. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute, too, that show, that's 48. But anyway, about that show, Jesus Camp, man, you guys have to see that. It's about these kids, and these kids are being brainwashed into to believing in Jesus, and the kids are crying, and it's really disturbing. It looks like some cult shit. If it was another religion other than Christianity, I think the ATF would have went in there and took all them kids out. It's that disturbing looking. And what they're really doing, they're programming these kids into becoming right-wing Republicans. Because I was looking at the show, and one lady brought out a cardboard cutting of George W. Bush. And I'm kind of thinking it's a joke. She was like, look, this is our president. We must praise our president. And the kids start praising the cardboard cutout of George W. Bush. I'm not making this shit up. It was crazy. Crazy shit. So look, I'm doing a show about religion, religious Mackin. January 7th, you go to maclessons.com and start pre-ordering that now. You know how I do my specials. I do a link, and the day of the link, everybody who ordered the show, you get emailed the link, so everybody won't be stealing it. And the link is going to be up for one day. We put the link up, take it down. That's going to be a very good show. I got to put y'all up on the religious game. We're going to discuss religion in depth. It's going to change your whole view of all this shit. It's really going to open your eyes to a lot of shit, man. The show is going to be very good. But that show, Jesus Camp, man, is very disturbing. And speaking of First 48, that's another show that's on A&E. What's my shit right here? The First 48, it's a cop show, and I've talked about that on my show before. That's one of my favorite shows on television, and Garrett, he just called from Kansas City, and they do a lot of episodes in Kansas City, Memphis, Miami, Texas, and it's a show, it's a real cop drama. They use real cops, real criminals, and the show is funny because niggas be on there snitching like it's nobody's business. These niggas be snitching like crazy. I mean, they get these niggas in the interrogation room. The hardest gangsters get broken down. These niggas snitch like it's nothing. And for all you wannabe criminals out there, if you ever get caught, if they ever get you in the interrogation room, and I'm not trying to make anybody justify doing any crime. You shouldn't be doing crimes, period. But if your dumbass gets into an interrogation room, you shut the fuck up. There's nothing you say that's going to get them to let your dumb ass out. That kills me. You got these niggas who think they're smart enough to talk themselves out of a fucked up situation. The best thing you can do is shut your goddamn stupid mouth. It kills me to see these niggas on the show. I mean, some of y'all niggas just don't do crime. You're too dumb to do a crime. You get in there snitching on everybody and yourself. You think you're trying to put the blame on somebody else, but then you end up getting football years in the game too. Niggas be going there talking about, well, I didn't shoot nobody, man. I just drove the car. Like they ain't gonna give you life too. Man, if y'all ever get into a situation like that, if you ever get caught by the cops or whatever, you get in that interrogation room, shut your fucking mouth and say, hey, look, I have nothing to say. I don't know none of these niggas. I want to talk to my lawyer. That's all you say. Nigga, if they had something on you, you would be arrested. Whenever they get you in the interrogation room, that means they have nothing on you. So your stupid ass ain't talking yourself out of nothing. The more you talk, the more likely they're going to arrest you. God damn. I'm just trying to give y'all some basic one-on-one shit. And number, you shouldn't be doing dumb fucking crimes anyway. Most of the cats on this show get a million years for stealing $70, $80 from somebody, robbing some elderly person for some weed. So you deserve to get whatever you get anyway. But I'm just saying, if you're gonna be a hustler, at least be halfway decent about your hustling. And watch who you bring around, too, because, again, your closest friends will snitch on you. That's another thing. If you want to be a hustler, understand some of the hustle rules. Hustle rule number one, all phones are tapped. Hustle rule number two, never make the risk greater than the rewards. Hustle rule number three, everybody is a potential snitch. Don't tell everybody your business, no matter how close you think they are to you. Do not tell everybody your business. When I watched that show, First 48, these little quote-unquote girlfriends that these niggas be having, they be the main snitches. They're the main, they're the first one to put all your business out there to the cops. They're telling these motherfuckers everything. I saw one episode of that show. It was a dude, they brought him and his girlfriend in. They had him in one room, his girlfriend in another room. That he lived with. And they had him there like, what do you do for a living? He was like, man, I shoot dice for a living. You know, I hustle dice. I gamble. You know, I wash cars. And they had his girlfriend in the other room. They were like, what does your boyfriend do? Like, he sell crack. He sell weed. I'm like, nigga, get this motherfucker off your team. Watch who you around. Keep your mouth shut. Keep as much information to yourself as possible. And just don't do dumb shit. How about that? Do not do dumb shit if you want to be a real hustler. Because real hustlers do not like dumb shit. Because when y'all niggas out here doing this dumb shit, just shooting people for nothing, shooting people for weed, real hustlers become affected because what happens is that the block gets hot, the cops out there knocking on everybody's door, fucking with everybody, fucking with the weed spot, the dope spot, the chop shop spot the track, messing up everybody's money looking for your ignorant ass. And also, niggas, if you're gonna do a crime like a hustler. Y'all niggas be doing emotional crimes. Somebody step on your shoe, you shoot them. Somebody look at you the wrong way, you shoot them. You get bent out of shape because of your ego and your emotions. Just bitch made. See, the thing is, there's other nationalities that do crimes. See, those shows, sometimes it seems like, they make it seem like a lot of black people do crimes. There's other people who do crimes. There's other races who do crimes. But they're smarter with the way they do it. They're more tactical with the way they do it. Even some essays, even some of the Mexicans. Like some Mexicans, they'll kill somebody. What do? They take their ass to Mexico and lay low, where it's impossible for them to catch him because a lot of them are undocumented. So a lot of them, if they shoot somebody, they just hop over that goddamn border and lay low for a minute. Like even the Italians, like the Italian mafia, they shoot somebody, they put a hit out on somebody, they go lay low in Italy for like 2 years. Let shit die down, then come back. Not you dumbass niggas. You shoot somebody and then go try to hide out two houses down from them. Like they're not gonna catch your ignorant ass. It just pisses me off, just the stupidity. Just dumb nigga shit is getting tired. Now, that's a new year. We have to start calling out dumb nigga shit as black folks. We really have to separate ourselves from the dumb nigga shit. And all that not snitching, don't snitch shit, everybody's snitching. Everybody's snitching on you. If you do some dumb shit, everybody's going to snitch on you. Let's say cats in your immediate circle don't snitch on you. Let's say you shoot somebody and two or three people know about it, but they're not going to tell the police about it. But you know that the streets are always talking. They're going to tell somebody they know, and that person is going to tell somebody they know. And sooner or later, that information is going to get to some jailhouse snitch who's trying to cut a deal. The cops have niggas in jail who gives them information from the streets. Do you understand that? I don't want to give y'all niggas too much game and leeway to go out here and commit crimes. I'm trying to deter you away from the shit. I'm just telling you how the system goes. They got niggas in jail who listen to what's popping on the streets, who you don't know from a can of paint, but they just listen to the streets. And if your name is ringing out there, they're gonna be like, look, officer, I know who killed such and such. Can I get 3 months off my sentence? These niggas be playing let's make a deal like Monty Hall. So for you dumb niggas out there, the likelihood of you getting away with your dumb shit is none. You rarely get away with that. So just don't do it, nigga. Go get a square job or something. Robbing motherfuckers and murder isn't your forte. Get a job at Office Depot or some shit. You'd be better off doing that. Y'all just square up. You're fucking up the community with your dumb shit. Sorry that I had to go off on a rant. I digress. But check out all those shows on the A&E Network. First 48 and Jesus Camp. Now let's get to some game today. I'm going to read a couple of emails from some of the listeners. Got an email from a young lady. She's like, what's up, Tariq? Man, I love the show. The show is hot. I love it. Listen to you every time I can. I have a situation. It's the holidays, and I got a call from a guy that I used to date back in the day. He just called out the blue to see how I'm doing. We talked on the phone for hours and hours and hours, and I'm kind of thinking about getting back with him. I don't know. He says that he misses me, and I kind of miss him. It's been almost 5 years since we really, really kicked it with each other. What should I do? Now, in this situation, you have to look at the timing of it. Around the holidays, it's New Year's, it's Christmas, New Year's, people get very sentimental. especially people in big cities. When people are in big cities, a lot of times they're away from their families, so they have a need for attachment. They have a need for a familiar atmosphere. And they'll call you out the blue, not because they miss you. You know, a lot of, they just want to be with somebody, anybody. Hotline, who's on the phone?
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, what's up? Who's calling?
This is Donovan.
What's up, Don? Where you calling from, bro?
Calling from Los Angeles, California.
All right, what's on your mind, man?
I want to ask you, what kind of, like, effect does astrology have on the game?
Astrology, it has a difference with people. Astrology, and I do believe in astrology, because the way the universe is made and the way our galaxy is made, the way the planets are aligned, I think it does have an effect on, you know, the energy that impacts the earth. Like the moon. The moon has an impact on the earth. It's a celestial body, and it has an impact on a woman's menstrual cycle. It has an impact on the ocean and the gravitational pull. So I do think astrology does have a play in the way people behave and their attitudes. And some of it is valid. I'll give them that. Some of it is valid. Now, I don't believe in psychics and people who are like Sylvia Brown and those motherfuckers. That shit I don't believe in. They're like, well, somebody with the name M is trying to contact you. Get the fuck out of here with that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All that is bullshit. But I do believe that, you know, a Cancer has a certain vibe. A Sagittarius has a certain vibe.
Yeah.
Certain people are compatible with others more so than others. You know, I believe in that. So,
okay.
So, but I might do a whole show on that. So just stay tuned for that, all right?
Alright,
alright, player. I believe in that. I believe some people, some birth signs we're more compatible with. Like me, I'm a Cancer, and I'm very compatible with Capricorn women. I'm very compatible with Capricorn women, very compatible with Geminis, very compatible with Sagittarius. I'm not compatible with Taurus women at all. I do not get along with no goddamn Taurus. I choke the shit out of a Taurus. Don't get along with them. But I digress. Anyway, but like I was saying, a lot of times people get into situations or they call up people out the blue for the holidays, around the holidays. Women do this too, fellas. And sometimes you can use this to your advantage, fellas. Fellas, around Valentine's Day, man, you get all types of miscellaneous ass, man, around Valentine's Day, because you got a lot of lonely women out here who don't have no dudes. The holidays is making them very sentimental, so you can go and put your bid in big time. You go out to the clubs and you see women at clubs the day before Valentine's or on Valentine's, you're in there. Even around Christmas time and New Year's, it's a good time for macking when girls are at the club. Now, I'm not talking about on New Year's Eve. I'm talking about like around that time, like before New Year's Eve, after New Year. Great time for macking. So a lot of times people have these sentimental things and they call you up because they just want somebody there. Also, whenever somebody calls you up out the blue that you used to date, most likely, and the real deal is this, they just broke up with somebody. A lot of times they just broke up with somebody and they need a confidence booster. And this is especially so with women. See, when women, fellas, y'all know what I'm talking about. You've had a woman call you up like, hey, what's going on with you? I just saw your number. I was looking at my old phone. I saw your number. I just wanted to see what was happening with you. That means some nigga done kicked it to the curb. Now, fellas, it's a different thing. Women, a lot of times when fellas call you up like, hey, what's going on? I'm just trying to holler at you. A lot of times he's going down his little black book. He's horny. He's trying to see who he can get some ass from. It's that simple. I wish I could make it more, you know, complicated. But in a lot of cases, when guys just call you out the blue, ladies, sometimes he just want to get his dick wet. A lot of times he just wants to get his freak on. He's looking for a booty call in many cases. So you have to take those things in consideration, all right? Now, this is the new year. A lot of stuff went on in 07, a lot of snitching. We've been talking about snitching earlier with the Mike Vick situation. There was a lot of snitching with that, a lot of snitching with the OJ situation. A lot of shit going on in 07. I don't want to do too much of a recap of 07 because it's a new year, and as a Mac, you always look forward. You never really look back. Hotline, who's calling?
This is Jeremiah, you know, from Washington. I got a question for you.
Go ahead, player.
How do you know if you found true love?
How do you know if you found true love? If you really don't want to mess with a whole bunch of other females. When this female that you're with, you're not with her just because you can't get anything else. You're with this female and you don't want to get with other females. So if another female came on to you and you're like, nah, I'm kind of cool, that's true love.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about a dime. Let's say another female who was a dime started coming on to you and you're like, you know what, I'm not fucking with you. I got what I got at the crib. You dig?
Yeah.
Have you found that?
I think I have found it, but she just doesn't know yet.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let me turn the music off. Well, she don't know she's your true love?
No, she don't know yet.
Is she your lady, or she's about to be your lady, or what?
Well, I'm trying to make her my lady. She knows me, though, but she's with another guy right now.
Oh. How old are you, man?
I'm 21.
So, your true love is with another dude?
Yeah, right now.
Hold on, y'all, I got to play a little music for you. I haven't played this music for nobody in a minute. How come you haven't put your bid in?
Man, I'm waiting for the right time.
When's the right time? When this nigga take his dick out of her?
Nah.
Well, I mean, really, what's the right time, player?
Yeah, I know what you mean, though.
Player, I'm thinking that
Should
you're talking
right now.
I'm thinking you're talking about a female that you done got and y'all into each other and y'all doing your thing. You up here sweating the next nigga's chick. Y'all stop doing that. That's not your, the next man's lady is not your true love. Old Brian McKnight ass nigga, that's not your true love. Go out there and what city you live in, man? You live in Washington State? What part of Washington?
Yeah.
Seattle?
Seattle.
There's so many women in Seattle, it's sick. So many women in Seattle. I lived in Seattle for 5 months. Fine ass women up there in Seattle. And you know it, Clay. Get out there with an umbrella because it rains like a motherfucker in Seattle.
Yeah, it does.
Get your umbrella. Go to Broadway Boulevard. Go up there to Dick's or Ezell's Chicken or wherever they go up there now. And put your beard in, man. Go get your own lady. Stop sweating the next man's chick. It's a new year, new Mac, and new game. It's time to upgrade. None of that simp shit for the new year. You hear me?
All right, I got you, man.
All right, man. God damn it, nigga. It's a new year. Stop that. Fellas, stop all that simp shit. God damn it. Anyway, speaking of song parody, I'm going to play some song parodies from last year. Some of my best song parodies. Since it's a new year, we're going to look at some of the old song parodies and stuff that I used to play. Well, I still do play every now and then. Let's see who's on the phone. Hotline, who's calling?
What's up? This is Elijah.
What's up, Elijah? What city are you calling from, bro?
Man, I'm calling from Bowling Green, Kentucky.
What part of Kentucky?
Bowling Green, about an hour from Nashville.
How far is it from Louisville?
About 2 hours.
Oh, okay. I've been to Louisville. I love Louisville, man. Real good people out there in Louisville. So what's on your mind, Claire?
And I'm just wondering how to just deal with people now, because I'm a young dude. I'm 16.
Okay.
And, like, there's just, like, nobody here. Like, just do anything.
Well, shit, you in high school, man. You in high school, so right
now. I know, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm young.
So, do you go to an all-white school?
Nah. Well, in Bowling Green, there are a lot of black people here. Yeah. But
what's the name of the city again? Bowling Green? What is it?
Bowling Green.
Bowling, how many niggas in Bowling Green?
There's a lot. Out of 50,000 people, I would say about 5,000, 6,000. There's a good amount here.
God damn. How many go to your school?
We're the most integrated school down here.
Okay. So, and I know it's because a city that's, I never heard of that city, but I know it's pretty slim pickings at your school.
Yeah.
What you might have to do, man, on the weekends, you know, go down to Louisville and hit up the mall. They'll go down to Shawnee Park in Louisville or really, go down to Nashville and kick it every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a car?
Yeah, I got a car.
Yeah. You're going to just get out of that little bitty ass city every now and then and put your bid in that way and get some experience. And it's good that you're trying to find new avenues, because a lot of dudes go out there and just find the first little fat chicken head they can find and lay up with her. Then that's not the business. I can tell that that's not what you're trying to do. But on the weekends, man, you and some of your homies, man, y'all go to some other cities and just venture out. You're a young dude, so you got youth on your side, and that's a good thing. And just venture out, and you're going to be all right, man.
All right,
for sure. Wow, well, these people, y'all be calling from these little-ass cities that I ain't never heard of. The mayor of the city be the town doctor and the pharmacist and the caterer, all rolled in one. Anyway, but like I said, I'm going to play some of the song parodies, the best of song parodies from last year. And here's one of my favorites. Y'all remember this one?
I'm bringing ashy back.
Y'all remember that one?
With lotion don't know how to act.
Hello?
That's my shit right there.
I'm bringing ashy back. You folks with lotion don't know how to act. Ashy babe,
my
you
favorite.
Need some lotion all around your face. I said you ashy babe. You need some lotion all around your face.
Give them knees.
Get your cocoa butter on.
Get them feet.
Get your cocoa butter on.
Get them elbows.
Get your cocoa
like
butter
that.
On.
Get them butt like cheeks. I like it. I like it. Let's see who's on the phone. Hotline, who's on the phone?
Hi, Tariq.
Hey.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Who is this?
This is Cheryl from Queens, New York.
Hey, what's going on with you, babe?
Nothing much. Just enjoying the New Year's.
Absolutely. So what New Year's resolutions do you have?
So many. First, like everybody else, lose weight.
Oh shit.
Then to get my school on.
Okay.
Finish college finally.
Cool.
And I'll just enjoy the new year, you know.
Cool. So what's on your mind today, young lady?
Nothing much. I just listen to your show all the time, and I'm going through a dilemma because my ex-boyfriend and I, we're very close, and it looks like he wants to get back together, but I don't know if that's what I want. And, like, I want to finish college. I have a lot of goals that I want to accomplish, and I do want to get married, you know. I'm getting older, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And he's a good black man. He's a very good black man. He doesn't hit you. He's very patient. He doesn't cheat on you. All the time we were going together, he never cheated on me.
Okay.
I mean, he's there's no more you can really ask for. It's just that,
he
broke off, you
know? Okay, but now, you got to give me some of his proactive qualities. See, some of y'all sisters be given the reactive qualities that a guy has. The best qualities is what he don't do, and that's not the criteria that you should judge. See, you can't be like, I got a guy, he don't whoop my ass, he don't smoke crack, he never stole from me. What? He shouldn't supposed to. So what does he proactively have to bring to the table that would make you say, okay, let me settle down with this guy?
Well, he's working on it, because what happened was his mother passed away. She had cancer.
Uh-huh.
And he had to take care of his mother while she was sick.
Okay.
So now he's working on him. Like, we're both doing each other. Like, he's working on his music career. He's working on going back to college. He's working on different things. And I'm working on myself also. So he asked me would I wait for him. And I'm like, well, I'm not dating anyone right now. But, you know, I don't know how. I want to get married. You know what I'm saying?
Now, how does this do?
He's 45.
Wait, 45?
Yeah.
This old nigga don't have his shit together?
I know.
Wait for
I
what?
I know.
Come on, he wants you to wait for him. Wait for his Social Security?
He was taking care of his mother's
time. Baby, he's, no, please. He ran that bullshit on you. It ain't going to be run on me. This nigga, 45 years old, talking about you taking care of his mama. Bullshit. That nigga was on the pipe at some time in his life. What does he do? I mean, and he working on his music.
So what he does is, I don't know, I'm not very technical with music, but he's a musician, and he's working on trying to get different beats and stuff. Like, he wants, like, for hip-hop artists, for different...
This nigga is too old to be trying to get a hip-hop career going. This nigga's 45 years old. Who is he trying to be? MC Geritol? He's too old. You need to find somebody else. I'm going to vote no on that one. Okay? No. No, he's bullshitting. And you bullshitting by listening to him. I'm thinking this dude is like 20-something. This nigga 45 years old, broke than a motherfucker, talking about he take care of his mama, trying to get a record deal. Get the fuck out of here. That dude... Upgrade. It's 2008. It's time to upgrade. We're going to let all that bullshit go. It's upgrade time. 2008.
So you know what, Tony? I like men who's older. I'm like 30. I'll be 39 next month.
That's cool.
And I like men who are older. I don't like young men.
And that's cool. You know what? That's cool. But if they're older, have older men things going on for yourself. When you're that age, you're supposed to be more established. You ain't just talking about wait for me and you 45 years old.
That's true.
And this nigga got gray pubic hairs talking about wait for somebody. Ain't nothing wrong with being older, but you can't be older and broke than a motherfucker. That ain't fly at all.
All right,
but think about that, babe. Thanks for the call.
Oh.
God damn. That don't make no damn sense. God damn. This nigga 45 years old trying to get a rap record deal. God damn. That's some funny shit. Anyway, we're going to play another song parody for the big girls out there. This one's for the big girls. Fat back.
Fat back. Look at your stomach.
Fat back.
Look at your tummy.
Fat back.
You need to vomit.
Fat back.
Oh.
Fat back.
Your booty's jiggling.
Fat back.
It's fat and jiggling.
Fat back.
You look like a piglet.
Fat back.
Oh.
Fat back.
Look at your belly.
Fat back.
It shakes like jelly.
Fat back.
Your hair looks smelly.
Fat back.
Oh.
Fat back.
Look at your body.
Fat back.
You're not a hottie.
Fat back.
You need Pilates.
Fat back.
Oh.
Fat back.
And here's one of mine. I got another. Let's see who's on the phone real quick. Real quick. Hotline, who's calling?
Hey, what's going on, Flex? This is your Royal Flyness from the blog, my man.
What's up, Pimp Juice? What's going on with you, baby?
Man, chilling. Chilling with you, man. Chilling. Just wanted, first of all, to give a shout-out to you. Give a Happy New Year's.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you.
All right. And secondly, man, just wanted to plug in my new book. I emailed it to you.
Yeah, I got
called...
it. I didn't get a chance to read it, but I got the email. Tell everybody what's the name of your book.
Cool, for sure. It's From My Space to My Place, How to Meet and Beat Chicks from the Net.
And where can they get the book?
They can get it from Temple. They can get it from www.myspacetomyplace.com.
Cool.
A lot of good game in there, my man.
Cool. Everybody check out my boy's book, My Space to My Place, How to Mac Up on MySpace Chicks, man. He's breaking it down for you.
Anything, it is.
Anything else on your mind, Flyness?
Nah, my man. Well, yeah, you can let the readers know, man. How do you feel about just macking the females on the internet? I included a little bit of the podcast that you did on MySpace Deception, but just want to get your overall take on the whole thing, man.
Yeah, it's cool, man. It's just as long as you know what to look out for as far as the deception. But internet macking, it's cool because you do everything on the internet now. Like when the internet first came out, it was kind of taboo. It was like, okay, you shouldn't really fuck with the internet like that. But now everybody does everything on the internet. You buy clothes, you buy food, you pay rent. So it's only natural that you can use it as a socializing place. But you still put your work in to meet up with people in person. The internet macking thing is great for introduction purposes, but don't have internet relationships. That means you just stay online chatting with a motherfucker 24 hours a day, talking about this is my girlfriend, that's my boyfriend. No, you got to get out there and get some physicals popping off. But it's a great place for the introduction. You feel me?
That's right. You get them back to your place.
And there you go. That's it right there. That's what's up.
It is. Right,
thanks a lot, Flyness. Word up. So check out my boy's book, Black Men Doing Good Positive Things. Play another song parody. This is one of my favorite song parodies, and I'm going to give this one out. This is, dedicate this one to Chris Stokes. Who is this sending me a voicemail? This one is dedicated to Chris Stokes, song parody. Hold on right now. This one.
You're a fag. You're scared to spit some game up at a bitch.
You're a fag.
Chris Stokes. Every time you walk, I see you switch.
You're a fag.
And everybody knows that you a gay. You're a fag. Put on some Daisy Dukes and rollerblades.
You're a fag.
And don't bring your ass around me.
You're a fag.
And don't be looking at my butt cheeks.
You're a fag.
You're a queen and you like to go and tweeze your eyebrows. So don't come around me cause you're a fag.
Hotline, who's on the phone?
What's up, Big Pimpin'? This is Renzo.
What's up, Renzo? Where you calling from, man?
It's Montgomery, Alabama, Pimpin'.
Montgomery? Man, what's going on down in Montgomery?
Oh, shit, ain't nothing right now, man. Just chilling by. I'll try to see what I'm doing today. Getting a little bit of that Hennessy.
For sure. So what's on your mind today, man?
Man, I just wanted to give you a shout-out, man. I'm a big listener. I check out the blogs, man. I read the Mac Within, the Automatic. Just put my gun on the map, man. I tell you that.
That's
real niggas that down here in the South. We hollering at you,
nigga,
baby.
You know I know about Montgomery. You know I used to live in Birmingham, man.
Hey, yeah, I'm real. You live in Birmingham.
Yeah, so I didn't fuck with Montgomery. I didn't had a couple of dimes out there in Montgomery too. So I know how y'all play his role. I know.
Tell me about that Magic City Classic,
sorry. Oh, nigga, Magic City, boy, Magic City Classic. Y'all don't know about them dimes down there in Alabama, man. It's a gang of fine-ass girls who be coming to that Magic City. That shit is like...
But you ain't lying. They can't roll two nickels together, though.
You know, they broke in a motherfucker. The bitch got sand and dust in her purse, but they be finding a motherfucker. All right, but thanks
for... Up, bro. I just want to take your time up, man. I just want to give you a shout-out, bro. I'm getting up out there.
Thanks for the call, player. Anyway. Play another song parody. And this one... This song parodies for Cassandra. Now, Cassandra used to call the show. All my diehard listeners know about her. She used to call the show all the time. This is a woman who, quote-unquote woman, I think she was a transvestite. She hated my guts. She would always call up and threaten me, make death threats, and, I mean, she really, 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 really hated my guts. And I think Cassandra was a transsexual because I always asked her to send pictures, but she would never send real photographs of herself. I even offered her money to make a video of herself holding up a sign saying, hey, this is Cassandra, but she never did it. So I'm thinking that Cassandra may or may not have been a dude. But we don't know for sure. So this is a song parody we had for Cassandra. It's Crank That Cassandra. Cassandra, don't you tell me. Crank that Cassandra dance right about now. Cassandra, keep on calling the show. I think she's a transsexual. Pull her panties down and circumcise that hoe. Cause she's a dude. Crank that Cassandra. 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 Cassandra, keep on calling the show. I think she's a transsexual. Pull her panties down and circumcise that hoe. Cause she's a dude. Crank that Cassandra. She's a dude. Crank that Cassandra. She's a dude. Let's see who's on the phone. Hotline, who's on the phone?
What's going on, Black?
What's up, who's this?
This is William calling from Boston.
All right, what's going on, man? What's on your mind, Will?
I'm chilling, man. Happy New Year.
Thanks, bro. Did you just wake up, player?
Oh, man, what a night.
Well, you sound sleepy than a motherfucker.
Yeah, man, just woke up. I would have it.
All right, what's on your mind, man?
I have a question. What would you do if you were if you have like a book wife?
Well, Will, you got to speak up, player. You got to speak a little louder, man.
Thanks. You have any game for the brothers who are like less fortunate like, with the looks and all that?
Do I have game for brothers who are less fortunate with the looks?
Yeah, and I'm, like we're not like the. I mean, like the Denzel or they're not me.
Look, man, really, when it comes to spitting your game, man, with women, it's all about what's between the ears. They want to hear some good game. With men, we're more visual. You understand that? We're all about what we see. With women, it's all about what they hear. So if they got some good game coming in their ears from you in the door. It doesn't matter what you look like. See, the mistake a lot of men like you make, because we're so physical, we think that women are just as physical as us. See, like a woman can get a man by just showing off her body or whatnot. Forget about what she's talking about. She can be a complete idiot, but she can still get a dude. It doesn't work the same with men trying to get women. Most women ain't tripping on a dude, you know, who just has a fly body. Some women trip on that, but the average woman doesn't. Because if a nigga's trying to be on some, let me show off my body shit, that just kind of comes across gay. And a lot of women ain't really feeling that. So you're going to have some verbs, nouns, and adjectives coming out your voice box to really get her interested. You dig what I'm saying? That makes sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Maybe, like in Cali or anywhere else, it seems like, you know what I mean? They're more about the verbal game around here, like around Boston or Connecticut, where I'd be partying at. It's like, you know, they just look at me like, hey, he's up.
No, because you got to look cool. You got to look like you got your shit together. You ain't got to be no pretty boy. But as long as your gear is straight, you're groomed up, your hygiene is straight, you cool in the gang. I know big niggas. I know ugly motherfuckers who got dimes. You know what I'm saying? And you just got to have the confidence. Because you got the confidence, man, you can get them. And a lot of times what makes men confident is money. And sometimes their looks. Now, when you have money, even if you don't have money, you can really improve your looks. You can step your gear game up. You can step your clothes and your jewels up. But even if you don't have the money for that, man, you can still be the neatest nigga you can be. You can still, like back in the day in the civil rights movement, a lot of those brothers didn't have money. But if you look at the civil rights footage, they would always be shaped up, have on nice suits, and they carried themselves in a certain way to garner respect. So you can do the same thing now. You don't have to, you know, be the Shamar Moore or Boris Kodjo or whoever. Shit, look at fucking Flavor Flav. You know, this nigga be having people on TV crying for him, and that nigga looks like a baby roach. You dig what I'm saying? So don't even trip on that. All right, man, thanks for the call, player. Anyway, y'all don't be tripping on looks. Let's see. I got another song parody that we're going to play. We took it old school on this one. It's Bone Tonight.
Ooh, baby, gotta shake my bone in you tonight. Ooh, baby, gotta stick my bone in you tonight. I'm coming over after 5. I'ma bone your ass tonight. Look at you, you're fine as hell. I'ma hit it like a nigga that's fresh from jail. Kick off your shoes, lay back, let me screw you. I'ma lay the pipe like I know you like. Get a little shot of Patron to get you in the mood. And the doggy style is sure to please you. Ooh, baby, I gotta stick my bone in you tonight. Oh, ooh, baby, I gotta stick my bone in you tonight.
All right, that's that. One of my favorites. We're going to play one more song parody, and we're going to get up out of here. And this is another one of my favorite song parodies. And I'll play that in a second. Anyway, before I get out of here, let me get one last plug. Don't forget, Monday, January 2nd, we're going to have the Mac Lesson special, the 1 hour special, the religious macking show. Go to maclessons.com and order that. Pre-order it now. And don't forget to check out maclessonsradio.com. And here's the last song parody, and we're out for the day. This is Hood Rad.
Girl, you a hood rat. I'm not trying to get with you, yeah. So ghetto,
you're raising the project.
And you got some samples coming to you, yeah. So ghetto,
I'm talking about Section 8 cribs. I'm talking about a house full of kids. I'm talking about math theory. I'm talking about government cheese. Girl, you a hood rat.
And I'm not trying to get with you, girl.
All right, y'all.
That's
it for the Mac Lessons Radio Show. I will holler at you next time. Thanks for calling in, everybody. New year, new Mackin'.
I'm talking about Section 8 cribs. I'm talking about a house full of kids. I'm talking about nappy weed. I'm talking about government cheese.
Yeah. MacLessons.com. MacLessons.com.